Jaguars Monday is next on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Cheap shot. Let's say hello to the boys from Jaguars Monday.
Well, hello, Frank.
Last week, for those that missed it, Shadrick was going to give me 24 points in the Gators. I fought, scratched, and clawed, battled, and negotiated that extra half point, JP. You know that, right?
It paid off for you.
That worked well for you, Frank.
Yeah, I beat him out of that half point, Tony, is what I did, okay? Mm. That was tough negotiating is what that was.
Our defense took it out on you just for that.
Yeah, that extra half point, what they only win by, 38? Is that what it was?
I lost count, I'll be honest with you.
So did I, bro.
You needed 38 and a half, Frank.
I did need 38 and a half. That would have been right. For the push, by the way, for the win. Hey, what's going on, boys? How's everybody today?
What do you think, Frank?
Come on,
kind of
Frank is 2-10. Come on.
I'm great. I'm great, by the way.
How you doing, Pete? How are you?
Pete, guess what? Nobody cares.
Nobody cares about you, Baselli. They're already coming at me about how much sunshine you're going to throw around this afternoon.
Hey, Pete, how's everything in South Florida today?
Everything's great.
Weather good? How's the weather?
Yeah, the weather's good. I mean, the Dolphins people on the radio weren't very happy today.
No, I guess not.
But everything's good. Everybody tweeting at me and saying, boy, we can't wait to see what Tony says and to try and make this one sound good.
That's not like completely. I like nothing's better than ripping Baselli, but I don't know if that's completely fair. I mean, you got to say something, right?
I'll be honest. I am excited to hear what Baselli says tonight.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious. Tony, what do you think? I'll tee it up.
Well, where do you want me to start? I mean, think about what? I mean, the fact that Prisco is a pain in the ass? I mean, where do you want to start there? I mean, tell me where you'd like me to go.
That's a good place to start.
That's a great place to start. I'm good with that, as a matter of fact.
Any direction you want to go, we can go.
Here's what I'll tell you.
We're 2-10. I mean, it's not good. I mean, the last 5 weeks, I'm pretty sure, I'm not 100% sure, Jaguars defense thinks number one in the NFL in yards.
In the last how many weeks?
I think 5 weeks, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. They're fourth overall.
Fourth overall.
Yeah.
With two awful games, Tennessee and San Diego.
Right.
They are tied for third in the NFL in yards per play, which is even a more telling statistic. They play great defense. They're not getting turnovers, but, I got theories about that we can talk about later, but they're not getting turnovers. But offensively, in special teams, you're not getting it done. It's not good enough. And playing against a great defense, we knew it was going to be tough, but the quarterback didn't play well. The receivers, I don't think, had a good day particularly. And when you turn the ball over and you're minus 18 for the year, comprehend that, minus 18, you're going to be 2-10.
Hey, Pete, I told Tony yesterday, I was pretty convinced, I told him before, after the Kansas City game, I'd never again see a team go 1-for-14 on third downs and win the game. Well, I was right. Yesterday, Denver went 1-for-13 on third downs and won the game. That's an astounding stat for me.
Yeah, and again, it goes back to what we said last week, Frank, about how good they are in terms of the young defenders on that team. I mean, anybody who watches that team and doesn't look at that defense and go, boy, that's the start of something that could be really special on that side of the football. And that's what, people should be excited about. Now, let's be real. The offense stinks. I mean, with a capital S, it's a bad offense. And there's nothing that's going to save it this season. There's nothing. They're not going to be a good offense at any point the rest of the season. They got to live with that. But that defense is very encouraging, no doubt about it.
They played very well. It's
amazing, guys. I mean, Frank, we sat there after preseason and we said, we think the defense will be, middle of the pack and will improve over the year. And the offense is going to have to carry this team because they have a chance to be a top 10, top 5 offense. Boy, were we wrong.
Yeah, I know.
We weren't even close.
Yeah, we and everybody, though. I mean, who didn't think that? If there was a talk show in Peoria, they said, well, the Jaguars are pretty good on offense, but that defense stinks.
Well,
everybody said that.
Yeah, if you'd have told me that Blake would have the year that he's having, I'd said there's no chance. If you had told me A-Rob is going to have A-Rob's having a poor year. He's just not playing good. It's not good football right now. There's no way. I mean, that Julius Thomas is inactive or, a non-factor on this offense. I wouldn't have seen that coming. I mean, it's confounding.
Well, if somebody would have told you before the season that the Jacksonville Jaguars heading in with the final four games of the season were the fourth-ranked defense in the league, you would have said, oh, boy, I bet they're 10-4.
On their way to a 10-12 win season.
Oh, yeah.
I totally agree.
Winning the division easy.
Yes. Yeah, that, I think we all would have said that. The show is Jaguars Monday. They'll break it all down for you, and it starts right now.
Live from the HananiaAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday with J.P. Shadrick, Jaguars great Tony Boselli, and CBSSports.com senior writer Pete Prisco is sponsored by Ticket Exchange, GEICO, and by EverBank. Jaguars Monday starts right now.
Here we go from the HananiaAutos.com studio at EverBank Field. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, and CBS Sports senior writer Pete Prisco down in Fort Lauderdale. The day after the 2010 loss to the Denver Broncos in Week 13, the seventh consecutive loss for the Jags. Three turnovers, two picks, a fumble, no takeaways. The Jaguars are officially eliminated from postseason consideration. And here we go. So 2-10 record with four to go. And same old story over and over
again.
You know
what that means, JP?
What's that, Pete?
You know what that means, JP?
I think I know what you're going to say, yeah.
We can start talking about next year, right, Boselli?
Nope.
Well, you can't, but me and JP can.
I think that was the deal you made, Tony, actually.
Yeah, it was the deal.
I never said anything about being 2-10. We talk about
you said when the team's eliminated.
When you said they were eliminated, you would talk about next year.
I changed my mind.
You're backing up. Well,
you can't change your mind.
Yeah, I can't because I didn't think they'd be eliminated this early.
The fans
being
out there
honest.
Want to know what's up next. And we'll talk about this moving forward today, but I don't know if you guys saw Jason Lockefora's report yesterday about Tom.
I saw it.
Okay, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about a bunch of stuff because, look, the rest of this season matters none. None.
Well, I disagree with that. It means nothing. So they cancel the games?
No, you play the games, you try and get better, but it doesn't mean anything. They don't mean anything. What do they mean?
I think it means a lot to some players and some guys that need to show and, you know, they need to evaluate. I think it means a lot for the organization. I understand not in the big picture, but I think it means a lot for the organization these last four games. I think, one, you learn a lot about guys in these situations, how they approach it and whether they're, you know, are they true pros or not? Are they guys who are – what motivates them or how are they going to handle adversity, tough times? I mean, can you count on them? I think you can learn a lot in these situations, Pete, as an organization. So I disagree that these don't mean anything.
You could learn a lot about individual players, from a team standpoint, it doesn't mean anything.
You're
going to be one of those guys that tells me that a week 15 or 16 win will carry over to 2017. I don't believe that one bit.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have a lot of experience.
Yeah,
in this
I'm not
area.
Sure that I would say that.
There are a lot of people that believe that, though. You've heard it.
Yeah, I have too.
I think old Tom Coughlin used to believe that. Remember back in the day?
He does. He still does. Yeah. I promise you that.
I don't believe that. I just think the way really
want to talk. Are we really going to give credence and credit to a rumor?
Yes.
Rumor based on no one will go on record, no one will say anything, and just both sides are rumored. Rumors from both sides. I mean, that's a heck of a job. I need to get that job where you can just say it. Rumor has it, and there's no accountability.
Didn't say rumor has it.
There's no accountability whether they're right or wrong because nothing can ever come about it. And no one will ever care. Let's create some Twitter clicks and.
Well, no,
and
that's
followers,
what it's about,
and yeah, that's what it is about.
Let
for
me,
you guys.
Let
that's
me
exactly what
this.
It's about for you guys.
Let me say. Okay, what we're talking about is Jason Lockefora, who works with me at CBS, had a report that Tom Coughlin, the Jaguars were considering Tom Coughlin for some high up position, vice president of player personnel, vice president of football operations, something to oversee the team. Okay, now I had heard that from somebody else in the league last week. That was a possibility. And so it's out there, Tony. It's going around the league a little bit. Now, am I okay? Am I – would bring
so why,
it,
so then
bring
just out of curiosity, why didn't you report it then if you were that sure of it?
Ooh. I wasn't that sure of it. So
okay,
I didn't
that's my point.
I only report things I'm not sure of.
Right.
I heard it as
– but most,
I heard
but just
Jason
so you know,
report
Pete,
stuff he's sure of.
Most Pete, I hear too many – if that's the case, then why do most of these rumors never come to pass?
Well – if you're a reporter and you report something, well, maybe you'll bring Tom in.
You know how you get away?
Bring Tom in and sit down and talk with him, and he'll want total control and total power, and it won't work out. That doesn't mean they haven't considered bringing him in.
How you get around it is you start saying, rumor has it there's possible mutual interest. So you can never be wrong.
Okay, but Tony, so you don't think there's mutual interest?
I don't know. I have no idea, Pete. I have zero. No one's told me that. I don't know that for a fact. I haven't talked to Tom. I haven't heard from anybody in the organization that says that is a possibility.
Okay.
Could it
so
be?
Let's take you
sure.
Out of
the... But am I going to have a conversation with you or anyone else about the possibility?
Yes.
No, I'm not, because it's dumb.
Well, it's not dumb.
Yeah,
it's moving forward. It's spinning forward.
We can look forward, but I also told you, with no uncertain terms, I am not talking about people's jobs who currently
we're
are.
Not talk-
yes, you are. You're
we're
talking-
not talking about somebody's job. We're talking about a new position, take overseer.
Okay.
Of-
oh, that's convenient, Pete. You know, come on,
Tony.
So what's this job that Tom's going to come in and have? It's rumors and it's only a possibility. Now let's make up a job position and a title for him.
Vice president of football operations.
And what is that going to? So what's that going to do? So he's going. So does that mean Dave gets fired?
No, absolutely not.
Okay. So what's he going to do then?
He's going to help Dave. He's going to help whatever in the organization. He's a you know.
He's
it's
a helper.
Like Parcells.
He's a
well, not a helper. You know,
like
what
an
I'm
elf,
about.
Like a Santa's helper, like an elf.
Except see, the lead elf. He's the top elf.
Now
top
you're,
elf.
Yeah.
Now you're
top
just elf. Being. Now you're just being confrontational for the sake of being confrontational.
Oh, I am, huh?
Yeah.
You are. You know that well because you play that role very well.
No, I believe what I say. Okay, let's just talk about it for a second, okay? Let's say they brought him in. What does that do to a potential coaching search?
Pete, I have no idea. I don't know. No idea. Well,
I wrote this morning in my Monday musings
okay,
that
good.
Yeah, I think it would be something that could possibly deter them getting a coach that they would want. I don't know if that's a fact.
Well, so, but since
like how?
So who do they want now, Pete?
How?
Because you got all these rumors and everything.
How?
So you got your
how?
I know you've already.
Well, let me talk about
list.
How. Let me talk about how first.
Yeah.
If Tom's in the building, and anybody who's been around Tom knows, and I have nothing but I think it would be a great thing to bring him back into the building somehow, some way. So I'm not saying I'm against it because I think Tom is a detail-oriented football head guy who gets it, okay? But if you brought him back into the building, you might be – say a coach wouldn't want to go work with him because he's going to have him look – you know what Tom is. There's no way if Tom's the vice president of football operations that he's not going to go meddling in the coach. You know how that is, Tony. You've been around him long enough. You know him.
Well,
he's going to be on that practice field.
Well, that's what I was having the conversation with you because I know Tom well. And if he is a role in any organization, he is going to be involved in everything. Everything.
Everything. Correct.
So that's why I'm not saying it's not going to happen. I don't know if it's going to happen. I don't even know why we're talking about something like this because it's,
because you got to start looking forward.
How does that? What does that do, Pete? What do we? I mean, let's look forward
the
on the team.
Fan base wants to. Hey, the fan base. Okay, I'm going to open it up to Twitter. Twitter. Send
tweet
Tony
ahead.
Tweets and tell him you want to talk about what's going forward,
know,
not what's going.
I know you live your life based on Twitter and what the people tweet. I don't.
No. But
I don't. You do.
We appease the audience. And the
no,
audience
I don't appease the audience.
Enough.
You appease the audience.
You need
that's
some
not
clicks,
my,
Pete. You need
that's
some
not
clicks.
My job to appease the audience. My job is to give my opinion about this team.
Well, you're
and
not
I'm,
giving an opinion.
I am,
you just
too.
Avoid the subject.
No, about this team. Last time I checked, Tom Coughlin, as great a coach as he is, and all the success he had, and I was a part of it, and thankful that he was the coach that helped us, you know, not getting to where we wanted to, but having a lot of success. He's not part of the organization now, Pete. So we can talk about this organization, but he's not part of it. When he is, then we'll talk about Tom all the time. And I'm sure he'll come tell me what I can say.
Help
and what
me out,
say.
JP. Help me out. Help me out. Oh, wait. If Tom's part of the organization, I might not be on the show anymore.
That's right. You're done, Pete.
Hey, we all
get
might get
here.
Fired.
Sit in the box over there, Pete. That's how that
but,
would
I mean,
work.
So tweet away. Ask me. I'm not gonna, I've said from the beginning, I'm not going to talk. Let's talk about this team, where they're at, what needs to happen. I mean, now, is it fair enough to start talking about changes that need to be made as far as positions and
personnel
and upgrades and changes. Sure, I get that. That's a fair conversation.
But upgrades and changes going forward can't be made unless you know who's making them.
Pete, you and I have conversations about what we think the upgrades and positions changes and everything do all the time. And guess what? Dave Caldwell doesn't listen to us. It doesn't matter what we say in the big picture. We just give opinions, not based on the fact that Dave is the GM, based on what we think.
I'm glad it's only 6:13 and I already got you rocking over there.
I don't think it'd be that hard tonight,
I got to leave early tonight. There's a Christmas party.
Hey, JP.
Hey, Pete.
We need to talk about that stuff, but here's a question I do want to ask you about the football team, Tony, and this is a legitimate. Should they sit down Blake Bortles?
I think it's a great question. I said earlier today, I just don't – what's the value of it? Does it help him? Does it make the situation any better? I mean, to your point, Pete, I guess if you were going to – if you felt like sitting Blake would have given you a better chance to win, you should have done it 4 or 5 weeks ago. Now, what's the point?
Well, we said about 3 weeks ago that if he continued to play at the rate he was playing at, that they maybe should take a look in the final month or whatever at maybe Brandon Allen. Not Henny. You don't go back to Henny because there's no reason to play Chad Henny. None. Zero. Zippo. You know what you got in him. You know, as far as winning football games, they don't matter now. You might as well try and find out what Brandon Allen has. Now, I'm not saying he's the answer, but the way Blake's playing the last 8 weeks of the season, he ain't the answer either right now. So would I sit him down? Probably not. But yeah. I'd consider it. I know that much.
I think if you're going to make that decision, and I would not be ready to make this decision right now, if you make that decision, you are basically saying, I'm going to find a quarterback in the offseason to come compete.
And well, I don't think there's any question about that.
Well, I would. I would. I'm not saying I would give up on Blake. I'm not saying that at all. But unless something drastically changes over 4 weeks, I mean, it really has to – that I would be drafting a quarterback in the first few rounds and or bringing a veteran in to compete.
We'll continue this Blake Bortles discussion, maybe whatever Pete wants to talk about, too. We might continue that.
Well, I mean, listen.
I don't know, we'll see.
It's a fair question. About Blake, that's a very fair question. That's a good question.
The other one, too. We might go back to that.
I love Tom. I respect him. I just don't know what the point of – I don't like talking about rumors and innuendos of things that people – there's no accountability to it. You can say anything you want nowadays through Pete's medium and on Twitter and anything else. And if you're wrong, no one ever calls you on it.
It's true. That's true.
So why? I'm not going to talk about it.
Okay. Come see the great Jimmy Smith's induction into the pride of the Jaguars this Sunday as the Jags welcome the Vikings. Tickets available. Visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. We're underway. Jaguars Monday on jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Oh, it's the biggest nightmare possible. But, I mean, what are you going to do about it? You can't sit there in a corner and pout. You can't, you know, blame people. You can't feel sorry for yourself because I think all that's going to do is affect the way I play. You can't press because, you know, I think I was doing some of that early in the season and that didn't go well. So I don't think, you know, you got to stay true to what we do and what we believe in and go through the process. And, you know, for me, it's obviously still trying to take care of the ball. You know, but I think all you can do is put your head down and continue to play as hard as you can and prepare each week.
Blake Bortles in the postgame yesterday after the 2010 loss to the Denver Broncos. Jaguars Monday continues. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco. Your call's coming up in the second hour tonight in the Irritate Boselli half hour. That's coming up at 7 o'clock. I'm sure
that was actually in the first 15 minutes of the show.
No, bonus edition tonight. We'll continue that throughout the evening. So
you're a real pain in the ass, Prisco. I'll tell you that
much. Wow. He's hot tonight.
Why am I a pain?
That was out of nowhere.
Yeah, where did that come from?
Because you are. Because I get tired of – I love you to death, but I get – man, golly, drive me crazy.
Do I wear you out?
Well, you bring up stuff that's just nonsensical and no need to talk about.
It's not nonsensical.
Yeah, it is.
There's a report out there, and you talk about it.
Pete, in your business, you can say anything you want now, and there's zero accountability.
No, you can't. Not if you're a respected journalist.
Really? You want me to go through the long list of those quote-unquote guys who break stories, who get them wrong on a weekly basis?
Well, then call him out for getting it wrong.
Okay.
Call him out, Tony.
So you're telling me that...
No, I've so, seen guys get him wrong.
Yeah, so you're telling me that Shad Khan has talked to Tom Coughlin.
I don't know that.
Well, then why are we talking about it?
Because somebody reported that there's interest there.
Yeah, that's not what the report said, Tony.
No.
There you go.
JP, yeah. If Tony doesn't want to talk about it, we can talk about it.
No, but it's my show, Pete. Not yet.
The report
from Lock and Forest says the Jags owner Shad Khan is mulling over coaching changes, and Coughlin has appealed to the team in various capacities.
Okay. I'll just say this, and I've not heard this from Shad, but in my experience, how long has he been the owner now here, JP? Five years. In my experience with Shad Khan, he is a man who is very strategic and very precise and is very I haven't known him to go running to the media and talking and sharing his business with very many people.
Shares his business with somebody that knows Tom Coughlin, then the guy who knows Tom Coughlin might share that business, and it gets out there. So
my sense, yes, that doesn't happen.
Well,
that's just my sense. I could be wrong.
You'd be surprised how agents work, Tony. You know that.
Oh, I'm not doubting that the agent is out there trying to put that out there. Oh, that's what agents do. I mean, that's what they do, not just here, everywhere, in college football and everything. Half the news that gets out there that so-and-so's on the short list of this job is because the agent has planted it to one of these insiders, because the insiders want help with information. It's a symbiotic relationship of a bunch of you-know-what, because each are trying to benefit themselves and not really report what's really happening.
It's just like free agencies, the same way.
Yeah, it's a joke. Yeah. We've now wasted 10 minutes on something that is a rumor of a possibility that there might be interest. That is the most
But let's take that part of it out of it. Let's just talk about the possibility.
No, I'm not talking about the possibility of a job that does not currently exist in this organization for somebody who does not work here.
See, I can speak to Tom Coughlin because I covered him for all those years and I was around him every single day, okay? Tony played for him. Since he doesn't want to talk about it, I will. I think Tom, in any capacity, would be great for the organization. Having said that, the coach that he would hire...
You think he'd be great as the head trainer? Like medical staff?
You know what I'm talking. Now you're being a wise guy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Maybe show host, co-host?
Maybe get you out of here and bring him in?
Yeah.
He'd be great in Tony's seat because he would actually talk about stuff instead of dancing around it.
You know that's not true, Pete.
Yeah, I could get the best out of it. I used to get good stuff out of him when it was certain times. But anyways, back to if he was in the organization, look, Tom at 70, he'll be 71 next August. I think Tom would be could he coach now? Absolutely. Could he be a personnel guy? Yes. Could he be an overseer of the entire organization? Yes. So bringing him back would be a good thing for the organization. But I do caution that whoever the coach would be, it would probably be a guy that would be understanding that Tom would be in his business every day, because that's who Tom is. And I go back to when Tom was fired in New York. Tom was in Ben McAdoo's office in March all the time because he couldn't stay out, you know? And so it's got to be the right guy if he did make a change of coach and Tom was involved. So having said all that, yes, it's speculation, Tony, but it's speculation that the people want to hear, okay?
Great. Let's talk about the next subject.
Yeah, let's continue. I think we've covered that, right, Pete? I think we've got that done for the
Yeah, night. We're good on that.
Yeah, we're good on that. All right. And I'm sure we'll have phone calls in the Irritate Buscelli half hour coming up.
Oh, I can't wait.
We'll revisit that a little bit later. 19 turnovers for Blake Bortles. 15 picks.
That's bad.
4 fumbles. He had 2 picks and 1 fumble yesterday. That total
the
of 19.
The first pick wasn't his fault, by the way.
That total of 19 turnovers is more than 20 NFL teams this season.
It's awful. I mean, it is atrocious.
Well, what was the stat I saw yesterday that he has more pick sixes in his career than wins?
Yeah, but that's a bad stat in my opinion.
Why?
Because that's basically saying all the losses are on him. I mean, did you see the roster 2 years ago?
No, but the fact that he has more pick sixes than wins is astounding.
Okay, this year he still has more pick sixes this year than wins.
This year and career.
You can look at this year, but it's bad. I mean. 19 turnovers at the quarterback position is too much. They're not all his fault, but as soon as you say that, you can list five or six that should have been intercepted that hit guys in the chest. They dropped. So I guess it all equals out where it ends up being your fault. He's got to be better. He is not playing good football right now. He has a lot of traits you love that you want your guy to have as far as in the pocket. I think he's good. I think he's tough. He's athletic. He's durable. All things that are critical to be a franchise quarterback. But the one thing or the couple things that are really bad right now is his accuracy and some decision-making. I think the accuracy goes to his footworks and the mechanical issues. I think it's not very good right now. I'm not a quarterback guy, so I'm not sure it's whether you can fix it or not, but it's really bad at times, and you see things that are done, and you go, what did I just watch? Because that doesn't look like an NFL football coming out of his hand.
How bad is the shoulder injury, you think?
I don't know. I have no idea.
And that's something you can't really question with him is his toughness.
That's right. He's playing through.
No, he's. Yeah. I said today as an offensive lineman, I'd love to have Blake Bortles in the huddle for a lot of reasons. His toughness. He's not going to bail on you. He's not going to complain. He's going to hang in there. He's going to take shots. He's going to get up. He's going to be there every snap. Those are all things you love as an offensive lineman. Now I don't want to be chasing guys trying to tackle them so they don't score touchdowns. And there's a lot of things. There's some things you don't like. But those have to get cleaned up. You cannot win in the NFL if your quarterback turns the ball over. It is impossible. You can't do it.
Tony,
that position cannot do it. You cannot.
I got a couple questions for you. First and foremost, on the play that he threw the pick six, what was he doing? Did he get hit from behind?
No, he was throwing, he did get hit. There was contact, but in my opinion, it still would have been picked because he was throwing it to Allen Robinson, and he never saw the guy undercut the route, which I don't understand how. He never saw it. I mean,
so even if he doesn't get hit, it's a bad throw.
Oh, it's terrible.
Couldn't really tell.
Terrible. Yeah.
But he throws it out in front of him enough, he completes it, right? No.
Roby is jumping it. There's no way.
He just jumped.
He is between Allen Robinson and Blake Bortles.
Got it.
Then the other thing you said earlier that I wanted to touch on because it's something that I've been thinking for a while, Allen Robinson is not playing very well.
No. He is struggling getting off the jam. I don't think his routes have been very good. You watch him. We've pointed out a couple times he doesn't run full speed at times. He doesn't finish routes. You know, deep balls, he goes hard, and then in the middle of the route, it's like he gives up on it, and then the ball's thrown. He picks back up his speed, makes it impossible. Had some drops. The struggling off man press, you know, is there. I think I said it twice. But, he's not having a good year right now. And I don't know why.
We'll try to dig into that a little bit more when we come back. Joe Fortunato, what you got?
Hey, just got a text from Lauren Brooks. Thank you, Lauren. She said, there's a car on fire on JTB just east of Kernan. Things are a mess over there. If you're heading out that way, maybe you want to get off at Southside and go down Beach Boulevard.
I thought you were going to say Mike.
Someone
lit it on fire. Didn't like what I was talking about.
Well, the Southern Chevy dealers are giving you a chance to win a VIP game day experience and a brand new Chevy Malibu. Register at your local Southern Chevy dealership today for your chance to win. Visit ChevyWinners.com for more information. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
It's tough, you know. I mean, I'd rather not talk about this amazing officiating that we've had this throughout the course of the season, you know, but it is what it is.
And is there anyone that can tell you why you, of all people, seem to not get called?
God. That's it. I mean, I have no idea. I mean, but it is what it is, you know. I mean, I just try to keep playing. You know, I try not to get too frustrated. You know, I got a little frustrated today, but other than that, you know, I mean, I've just been trying to keep my head in and try and go out there and make some plays.
Allen Robinson, after the game yesterday, a Brian Sexton question thrown in there as well. JP Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Pete Prisco, Jaguars Monday rolls along. That's part of it for A-Rob. He hasn't had his fair share of calls this year, but you can't cry about that. There's another quote last night from him saying, maybe I have to do more. Maybe I have to be more physical. Maybe I have to play harder. Maybe it's on him. That's all that's left. Well,
I think he's been getting mugged.
He has been
mugged a lot.
But, Pete, don't you think, and I don't watch – you watch more of other games than I do. Don't the big physical receivers – like, Dez gets – it's a physical game. They allow the corners to get more physical with receivers like Dez Bryant and Allen Robinson, those guys. That's my perception. Yes. I'm not saying that's true.
No, you're right. You're right. Because I think, you know why? The flip side of it is they usually allow them to be more physical with the corners.
And I think Allen needs to be – I think A-Rob needs to be more physical with the corners. Because if you watch Dez, he'll say, you want to be physical with me. It's going to be a fist fight. It's not going to be pretty. I mean, he's going to get physical. And maybe that. So maybe that's what A-Rob needs to do. But there's no doubt. And I'm still a big believer in A-Rob. I think he's a fabulous young receiver. I think he's a good player. I just think he's having a tough year. And maybe it's the coming off the success last year, teams are covering him different, the frustration. I think, listen, as a receiver, if your quarterback's struggling, that affects you directly. And maybe
not only that, Tony.
And so you start getting frustrated. Yeah, and it affects how you play. And I think that's something you have to grow up and you learn and you fight through. And so I think there's a lot of things that and you're not getting the calls you think you deserve. And that's where I think when you're a great I believe A-Rob can be a legit number one go-to receiver in this league. But if you want to be that guy, you go out and you dominate. And when you get man coverage, you go win. We're gonna induct a guy into the pride of the Jaguars, Jimmy Smith, this Sunday. And Pete covered him, and I played with him. There was nobody who wanted to play man press on Jimmy Smith because he would physically abuse you. I mean,
he had great hands at the line of scrimmage, and he'd get him off of you, and
he'd win.
He was gone.
And he'd win.
But, Tony, the biggest difference between Jimmy and
Pete, that's not my point. I'm not comparing the
two. I know what you're saying. Because I have a couple thoughts on Allen Robinson. One is, you mentioned all the hands, and you don't want to, if you press him, he's got to learn how to handle the press. That's one thing he can do better. The difference is that Jimmy knew how to handle the press and would go by you. Allen Robinson can't go by you. That's
but Dez Bryant isn't fast, Pete.
No, but he plays pretty fast. He plays faster than Allen Robinson does. But back to my point on Allen Robinson, what I wanted to say to you before was every receiver at some point has to learn how to handle the double, the getting beat up, the muggings, all of it. They have to learn how to handle that. And last year he was a star. He burst on the scene. Everybody played him differently. And then all of a sudden you go into a game now and you say they point out they got to take away Allen Robinson, right? Take away Allen Robinson. Well, now he's got to learn how to handle that. That's the next step for him in his receiver progress. I think he can do it, and I think he will do it, but he hadn't done a good job of it this year. And a lot of it, like you said, has to do with the quarterback play.
Well, I think quarterback is definitely a part of it, but you have to fight through that if you're a receiver. It's part of it. I mean, you've got to fight through it. I think the other thing is, we tried to throw a lot of back shoulder throws.
Yeah, why
too
was
many.
That?
Well, I said it on the air, and I'll say it again now. The back shoulder throw only works, or at least, not, I shouldn't say only, but needs to be complemented with some shots down the field.
Right.
So they start playing over the top. But they're not afraid of the over the top stuff, so they play underneath the route, and they cover the back shoulder. The back shoulder was brought into this league and started working because corners would play over the top for the deep route and you could throw the back shoulder and it's a very hard play to defend. But we didn't throw it deep once. You got to take shots.
Here's another thing. We just showed that play that on the crossing route to Robinson on Jaguars.com. He's catching the ball and he's going backwards or something. I mean, look at it. Show that play again if we can. I don't know if we could tee it up again, but I noticed it when I was watching the game yesterday. I go, guy catches more passes when he's like back. Watch this.
Yeah, twisting around right there.
What is that?
I don't know.
That's not the only receiver having to do that sometimes, too, by the way.
No, is that a bad throw, though, or is it just the timing of it? I couldn't figure out.
I can't
figure out what that was.
Can't tell from that angle.
But he catches the ball and he goes up the field. It's a bigger gain. I don't know. There's just a lot of little things, and but the skill set is there. My thing, Tony, is I don't think he runs that well, and that's always that shows up when you see Marquise Lee run and when you see him run. It's night and day difference, and that's always concerning me. Can he be a really good receiver? Yes. I don't know if he'll ever be a great receiver because I don't know how well he runs.
Well, I'll say this: if you want to be a great receiver,
and you don't run,
I'm not putting. Well, there's been great receivers that didn't run well.
Right, but they got to do the extra special stuff like you've been talking about.
You got to win. You got to beat people up. You got to be physical. You got to be, I mean, you got to be a great route runner. You got to you got to be able to change speeds, run full speed. I mean, all the different, I mean, all these things. And the great players and the great receivers, and when you play Aqib Talib and Chris Harris, who are outstanding players, by the way. But he had matchups against Roby, too, who's a good player. Not a great player, a good player. But even when you're playing great players and you're matched up one-on-one, you got to win your fair share. You're not going to win them all. But you got to win your fair share to be considered a great player. Beating the average guys doesn't make you a great player. When you get the opportunities against guys like Talib and Harris, you got to win. And that has to be the attitude.
You got to admit, though, I mean, and I think people in the organization would even admit that the receivers, they thought they had one and two for a long, long time. And now I'm not so sure they don't have two and three. And because there's no one. I don't know if there's a one. And that, to me, if I'm the Jaguars, that's you know, we talk about Blake all the time, and maybe it's a byproduct of that, Tony. But I think there's questions about the receiving group that you didn't think would be there when the season started. I don't think – particularly, we talk about Robinson – Hearns, too. I mean, I think Hearns has played himself into being a three. That's what he looks like to me, a three.
What's Marquise so, Lee?
What is he?
Yeah.
Maybe a two. Do they have a one? I mean, it's a good, it's a solid group, but do they have that guy? And it, not everybody has that guy, but if you don't, your quarterback better be damn good, and he's not right now.
We'll come back. A little defensive talk when we return. The injury report still to come as well. PFF grades and phone
yes.
calls as part of the Irritate Baselli half hour.
I thought we already started that.
Oh, we did. Yeah. We did. It will continue about 7 o'clock tonight. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I think a really good defense, when you know that you've arrived, is when a defense starts dictating the outcome of a game. Okay, like yesterday, when you saw Denver, they got a pick six, another interception. And you feel like, boy, their defense really dictated the outcome of that game. That's the mark of a really good defense. Really good defense. Right now, we're not there yet. We're not getting those. We're not dictating the outcome of it. But not to be confused with a talented defense that has really got the arrow up. Like, you're really excited about this group of guys. Really excited.
Gus Bradley earlier today in his day after press conference discussing the Jags defense as compared to the Broncos. JP Shadrick, Tony Baselli, Pete Prisco. Jaguars Monday continues. Now let's flip it over. A little positivity around here. How about that? The defensive side of the ball yesterday.
Can Pete do that? Can Pete be positive?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm a realist, Tony. I'm a realist. So, yeah, I'll give props to that defense. I'm
okay.
A realist.
They're hot. Real realist.
They're hot right now. The
not
last
not Captain Sunshine.
I'm not either. How about what have I said tonight that's anything Captain Sunshine? Tell me one thing
tonight,
I said.
Tonight you've been okay.
Okay, tell me one thing I said last week that was Captain Sunshine.
Nothing. I can't remember.
Okay.
I can't remember
the
what
week
I had
before
for lunch
I said nothing Captain Sunshine.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you where you can stick to sunshine.
Oh, hey.
Where the sun doesn't shine?
That's exactly right.
No, look, the defense is impressive. I'm going to again, I said it a couple weeks ago, the next coach, whoever coaches this team, is going to inherit some really talented defensive players and something you can really build on.
Let me ask you a question about that, Pete.
Future. What?
Does Gus and his defensive staff get no credit for what they've done?
Yeah, but what is that? So what does that mean, Tony?
No, I'm just I don't know what it means, but
weren't they last in the league?
They went from last in the league in defense to top five right now.
Right, they've done a good job.
Okay, I'm just saying. So do you just throw all that out and just say we're going to scrap everything and start over on offense and defense?
Yes.
And you think that's smart, scrapping the entire defensive scheme that's a top five defense?
Well, if your players are good enough, they'll fit in any.
Well, I'm just saying that's the teams in the past haven't done. That's my point.
So what you're saying is, if they hire an offensive,
give you an example.
Maybe they keep Todd Wash.
I'll give you an example. Tampa Bay fired Tony Dungy.
Right.
They just fired Tony Dungy and the offensive staff. They brought John Gruden in and said, your defensive staff is already here.
Because they kept Monty Kiffin.
And the whole and the entire defensive staff.
Right. Well, I mean.
They did pretty well.
They won a Super Bowl.
But the problem with that is your new coach might not want that defensive staff. He might have his own defensive staff.
Possibly. I'm asking the question.
Yeah, I mean, look, they've done a good job. You got to give Todd Washington and his staff a lot of credit. But to be honest with you, that doesn't happen very often, and you know it. I mean, it's happened, but it doesn't happen all that much.
Yeah, I don't know.
But they have done a good job. There's no question about it. Because that for a team that doesn't sack the quarterback to have those kind of numbers, now they still aren't very good in scoring defense.
Well, okay, let's go over that, Pete. This week they gave up 20, right? Let's go over the 20 they gave up.
Well, they didn't give up 20 because one was a pick six.
No, but that counts to your scoring defense, though.
That's right.
If you look at the numbers, that counts to your scoring defense. So let's go over that. They gave up one drive for 7. The other was a pick six. The other was a turnover where they were in field goal range. The other was a punt return where they needed one first down to get in first field goal range. So on 13 points, they gave up zero. For 13 points, they gave up one first down for the team to score those 13 points. So I put none of those points on them. They gave up 7 points this week.
And they had him off the field on that drive, too. Remember the third down, roughing the passer?
Very ticky-tack call. But they gave up the 7.
Yeah.
You can't take that. I mean, they gave up 7. The week before in Detroit, right?
Right.
They gave up 10 points. The rest were pick sixes. Not pick sixes. Picks that ended up already in field goal range and a punt return for a touchdown. So the last 2 weeks, they've given up 17 points. And I can go through the last 5 weeks. I can go through games where the defense really gave up. You know, they probably are averaging giving up about 10 to 13 points. I haven't done the exact math. But of real points that you attribute to them giving up scores.
And then in key situations, not just giving up those points, but getting the ball back for the offense in a key spot late in the game after giving up.
So that whole – on a team that's minus 18, I don't put a lot of weight into what the scoring defense number is.
Well, I mean, I get it. Well, how many points a game are they giving up?
26.
On defense? Yeah, I mean.
But I can go through every game. The two they gave a bunch. They gave up a bunch in San Diego. Now, some of them were turnovers as well, but they didn't play well. And they gave up a bunch in Tennessee, which was on them. But even Green Bay, pick six. Houston, who scored 17 and won the game, pick six. Right? Was that the Houston pick six? Was there one there?
I think so. No. Yeah.
So
three of the last 4 games, there's been one.
I mean, so I'm just saying you can't – yeah, Detroit. Detroit was a pick six, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. I mean, so so it wasn't Houston. It was actually Detroit where the pick six was. My point of saying that is I think that's a misleading stat. Now, I'm not saying they're one of the top scoring defenses, but my guess is they'd be top 10 if they weren't minus 19. The one glaring error of this defense is they don't have a lot of turnovers, created turnovers. And my theory on that is twofold. One, they are a big man coverage team. So it's harder to get interceptions for man coverage. And two, especially when you don't have a pass rush. Usually high turnover teams are teams that pressure the quarterback and sack the quarterback because you force him into quicker decisions than he wants to make. And a lot of times the best way is when you're in zone coverage because you're seeing the quarterback, you're reacting, you're breaking on the ball, and so on and so forth. When you're in press man, it's more difficult because you're chasing that guy around, trailing, and you still see it if you undercut the route. But a lot of times, turnovers are created by pressure, and they don't pressure the quarterback. That's the one thing they're not very good at. Yeah. They don't pressure the quarterback.
7 takeaways for this team, 5 on defense, 2 are on special
teams.
Yeah,
it's not good. That's a bad stat.
No, not good at all.
But that's my theory. I think the big part
– and it's because of the pass rush.
Yeah, the pass rush is the biggest thing. That's the biggest reason.
Tony – Dante Fowler still isn't a great pass rusher.
No.
Boy, he plays that run.
You don't pick guys fifth overall to play to run, but he is good
no.
at it. And he will hammer you. Holy.
Oh, man.
I thought he killed Booker.
Yeah, that was a violent play. I mean, he just came down the line and blasted me. And he's good at chasing down plays from the backside. He doesn't quit on plays, which
he
I think
he plays really hard, violent player, you know, no regard for his body. He's just not a very good pass rusher. He needs to work on that a lot.
And those aren't good tackles that Denver has either.
No, they're atrocious.
With a capital A.
Well, the right tackle's really bad. Okun's
okay. He's bad.
Okun's all right.
Yeah. He's okay. He's serviceable, but Stevenson's terrible.
Too bad we didn't get Ty Sambrella playing because he is. Woo.
Ooh, he's even worse.
We'll come back and get into
that. I told JP yeah. on Sunday
yeah.
that I would take him over Ty Sambrella at right tackle.
Me.
I'd take JP.
Yeah, because yeah. at least I said JP just get run over and just at least slow him down.
I'm qualified. For
you know where Ty Sambrella is from? Don't
Colorado
you,
State.
Where was Anthony Cesario from?
Colorado State.
Well,
God rest his soul. He's dead, Pete.
I know. What he
passed
away?
Go,
huh?
Pete. Jeez.
No, I forgot he passed away.
Yeah, taking shots at dead guys, Pete. Congratulations. You're a bad human being.
Welcome back. The Irritate Vaselli segment is around the corner. Injury report, PFF grades, and your calls. 355-NFL-1. 355-6351, the number. Game day is so much more enjoyable if you don't have to worry about finding a parking space. Ride the JTA Game Day Express and park in one of the five convenient lots. Tickets start at $7. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
It's tough, man. It's tough. That part's tough. You know, because they just play their tails off, man. They play their tails off. And when you get interceptions and you do that, and you know, it's easy to throw that all on Blake because he's, and, you know, I think we all understand that. But, you know, the pocket gets condensed and you're sitting there, you're trying to make plays for your team. And, you know, sometimes things like that happen. You know, it's a talented team. We just need to figure that part out. What I'm hoping is through all this pain that we're going through as far as adversity, that what's worthy of it comes in the end. You know, and when that happens, I don't know if it's next week or in 2 weeks, but I think this team is really trying to gain as much strength from this as they can for future times.
All right, we're back Monday night. What's it called? Jaguars Monday.
You don't even know the name of the show.
Monday.
What is wrong
we're back.
With you?
JP Shadrick.
Oaf.
Pete Pisco and Tony Boselli.
You just butchered that, by the way.
That was terrible.
I got the name wrong, but that's normal.
Is it?
Yeah, you called me Pete Pisco, too.
No, I said Pete Prisco of CBSSports.com. Online.
You don't need the .com anymore. You don't need the .com
anymore. CBSSportsOnline.com /analystfootball/ Pete Prisco.
There must be a reason why you wanted to start this segment.
I wanted to thank everyone online watching us on Jaguars.com.
Yeah, that's
all
right.
The people. I want to give a shout out. Thousands that are watching us. Want to say hello?
That's cool.
Yeah. I appreciate them taking the time.
They get to look at your ugly face.
Well, it's the best part of the show. I have gotten some tweets asking if we could block out Pete's face.
Mm. Yeah, well, block it out, because I've gotten a lot of tweets saying that they would like you to talk about the coaching search.
Huh?
Hey, let's get to the.
I'll bring us back next time too. I'll do better.
Yeah, you need to, because that wasn't.
It's called Jaguars good. Monday, right? Joe, is that the name of the show?
How many years are we doing this now? 3 years.
You know what he's doing, JP?
What?
He's trying to make it so it's just me and him on the show. You better watch out.
Making a play, Pete. Fine. We're making a play. Perfect. When's the when's the podcast start?
Well, if we get rid of JP, it'll be a 2-man podcast. We'll just
well, I know this will be better than your dumb CBSSports.com/online/analystfootball/podcast, whatever it is.
I'm going to tell you, if you come back from segments like you just did, it's going to be a terrible show. I got news for you.
Well, I would.
That's
be
my only job here.
It already is.
Hey, that's all I do
JP,
here.
JP, I'd what? Be the guy coming back from segments. Don't worry about it.
Oh, jeez, Pete. Okay, that's okay. You know what? That's real nice. Injury report.
All right, go for
Jaguars
it.
Jaguars are banged
long,
up.
Long report.
Alan Hearns, Chris Ivory, Jared Odrick, Julius Thomas, they were all ruled out before the game. They're continuing to rehab. They'll be on the report. Denard Robinson, a left high ankle sprain and did not return.
Not good. We're down. You got to sign a running back. Have to sign a running back.
Yannick Ngakoue was cleared to play.
I wouldn't be surprised if they put Denard on injured reserve if it's a severe high ankle sprain, because if it's a bad high ankle sprain, that's 3 to 4 weeks. We got 4 weeks left. You got to sign another back. That'd be my thought. I mean, I don't know anything, but that's my thought.
Yannick Ngakoue was cleared to play, removed when he had symptoms related to the previous ankle injury. That's
good for good for the young guy to fight through it. Could have taken the easy way out, and it's one of the things I appreciate about this team. And Pete, we've talked about it. You've seen it. When you're 2-9 or 2-10 now, and you get guys nicked, it's easy to sit in that training room and not come out. And TJ played on a beat-up ankle. Yannick Ngakoue played on a bad ankle as well, I believe it was.
And, well, they're young.
Yeah, but
they're young.
Here we go.
Yeah, older guys would you know what?
They would not. You think all the old guys would jake it?
I'm not saying all the old guys would jake it, but
okay. I'll go through a list. You think Paul Posluszny would jake it?
No.
No. You think Brandon Linder would jake it?
No,
because he's not
an old
knee.
Guy either.
Yeah, he's his third year. I mean,
right ankle sprain.
But he has the knee and the ankle sprain.
Right.
He's not an old guy.
On this
I'm just saying on some teams. I'm not saying on this team.
That's why I said I appreciate
it.
These guys on this team. Yeah. I'm not talking about any other team, Pete. It's the Jaguar Monday show. Not the Titans Monday show or the Packers Monday show. We're talking about this team, Pete.
It's Jaguars Monday.
Same thing.
I mean, there's two veterans. I'm not saying anybody's jaking it, but there's two veterans who aren't playing.
Who? Odrick and maybe they're hurt so bad they can't.
And Julius.
Yeah, maybe they were really hurt. Are you judging them now?
No.
Oh.
You said that
he's judged them.
Yeah, you are judging. You're very judgmental.
I mean, I can tell you this pretty much for certainty that neither one will probably be back next year.
I don't disagree.
Hey, how about the Irritate Bocelli half hour beginning now?
I was trying to stall so if we could just get past the
We just passed the top of the hour. We got a good 15 minutes here to get you going. Starting with Pro Football Focus grades, Pete, if you have them ready to roll here.
Yeah, I have them ready to roll, and Tony will probably agree with a lot of them this week. Tony, there's one guy in the green on the entire offense. One.
Brandon Linder.
You're spot on, buddy.
Wow.
Spot on. And he actually had a really good grade. Was it that impressive on tape?
Yeah, he's playing really good.
Even with a really bad ankle and knee, huh?
Yeah. He's really playing
okay,
well.
Okay, lowest rated offensive lineman among the group.
Beecham.
Bingo!
Wow, 2 for 2.
2 for 2 today. And I can tell you this, Tony. The offensive line grades are atrocious. Accurate or not?
They kept Blake upright.
Yeah, I mean, there's only one sack. I mean, they rushed for 153. I don't think atrocious. I don't think that's fair.
They gave A.J. a bad grade in run blocking.
Well, then who blocked well? How did they rush for 153?
Linder had a great game. I guess he blocked everybody. Is Ben Koyak a bad run blocker?
No. I don't think he's bad. I mean, he's not Mercedes Lewis, but I don't think he's bad.
All right, so everybody on offense had bad grades except for Linder, and they actually gave Blake a positive grade for his running. Maybe he listened to Hayes Carline. Did you see Hayes' story last week? He said they should use him more as a runner now that that's all he can do. All right, defense, Tony, you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
A lot of positive grades.
Okay,
on
Malik.
Defense.
Is positive.
Who's the highest rated player?
I'd say Jalen.
Wrong. You mentioned him earlier.
Malik. Okay. Well, I said he was positive. Malik's positive. Okay. Jalen's positive.
Jalen is positive. Correct.
Prince positive.
Negative.
Telvin positive.
Slightly. Cyprian positive?
Yeah, Sip played well.
Tashawn Gibson positive?
If he'd have caught the pick, I'd be happier, but yes.
Dante Fowler positive.
Run game, yes. He had one
high run game. Run game grade.
He had one and there might have been more, but there's one pass rush that stood out that was a nice rush.
Other than that, The only negative, Tyson got a negative, Tony. Is that accurate?
It didn't stand out that he played real bad. He didn't stand out doing anything great, though, either.
Miles Jack had a slight minus.
I don't remember him doing much.
So there you have it. Those are your PFF grades.
Wow. Yeah, that wasn't really too controversial tonight. I was expecting...
No, Tony agreed with him tonight.
Yeah,
so the guy who did it must have done a good job then.
You call it. Well, let's crank it up. The phone lines are open. 355-NFL-1, 355-6351, the number. We'll start out tonight with Steve on the south side. Steve, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, huge Jaguars supporter. Got one quick question, Tony. If Tom Coughlin came back into the picture as coach or GM or some role and wanted you to be the offensive line coach, what would you say?
I'm not going to talk about Tom Coughlin coming here, and I'm not going to talk about anyone's job in this staff, including Doug Marrone, who I think is a very good offensive line coach. But I appreciate you for the consideration. I love
coaching.
Would
you ever like to be an offensive line coach in the National Football League?
I have considered and continue to consider of I coach high school football right now. I love coaching football, and it would be something I would consider at the pro level and possibly even the college level.
You know,
I have no plans of doing it, but I would consider it if the right opportunity came in the NFL or college.
There you have it, Pete. What do you think?
I think he'd be fantastic at it, to be honest with you, and I think it's a huge time commitment. Tony's got a bunch of kids, though. That's a tough thing to deal with. I mean, that would be tough. Are they okay with it? Would the wife be okay with it?
Yeah, my wife's actually encouraged me to do it.
She wants to get rid of you.
Yeah, I think she'd probably be happy. No, she's encouraged me. My girls have encouraged me. But, you know, it'd have to be the right opportunity. I love what I do here. I love this organization. It'd be very hard for me to leave Jacksonville and leave the Jaguar organization. And so that's why I haven't pursued it intently. But if the right opportunity came, I would definitely consider it. But I'm not openly looking at this time for another job.
No,
I love the job I have.
Because I know the way Tony talks about offensive line play, and I know his passion for it. I know how he's a detail freak on it and everything. I think he would be a terrific offensive line coach. And
I do love it, Pete. I love ball.
And whoever would be the hire in Jacksonville would – because I think offensive line play is severely – undercoached and poorly coached, to be honest with you, around the National Football League. And so some new blood that's outside the realm of the guys who came up in that group would be good for it. So,
I appreciate that, Pete. But I will say this about – I think that Doug Marrone and John Betton have done a good job. You look at the sack numbers, where they were 2 years ago, how they went down last year, and what they are this year. I know in the last five games, I think they've given up 7 sacks total. I don't know – I know there was a couple games early, but what's their total number?
I can tell you for the year, it is certainly down from the pace of the last couple of seasons. 24 sacks total this year.
Yeah, 24 is total. I think they were in the high 40s last year and 70 the year before.
Yeah, last year it was 51.
So 51, and then it was 70-something or 80 even the year before maybe.
Yeah, it was a lot. 71.
71. So Doug Marrone, who's been here the last 2 years, John Betton this year, have done a great job as line coach. Same guys, pretty much, for the most part. I mean, you added Kelvin Beachum this year. But they've really done a good job of improving the protection, and they're starting to run the ball better the last few weeks as well.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Darren in Mandarin moves us along. Darren, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show, as always. Baselli, I love you, man. You know I do.
But here comes the butt now. Here comes the butt.
Well, give him the butt.
It's the butt.
I don't want you to get mad at me and hang up on me, you know?
I appreciate that, but whether you say you love me and have nicer things and then you give me a butt and say something that I think is dumb, I'm going to say it's dumb. So just go with it.
No, because we're having a horrible year this year. And so, you know,
thanks for the news flash.
Yesterday again with my son and celebrated his birthday and had a wonderful time as far as celebrating and having a great day at the game and the experience and all that sort of thing. But I do want to talk a little bit about moving forward. And so, you know, I want this team to get better. And I heard you say 3 or 4 weeks ago that we would consider, you know, maybe they should take a look at Allen in live action towards the end of the year. You know, I'll say two comments and then I'll take your answers off the air.
I don't think I said that. I don't think I said that. I think I said I could understand. Yeah, Pete said that. I said I wouldn't do that, but that's fine.
Okay. All right. Okay. I'm fine. I stand corrected. So anyway, so I would love to see him in some live action over the next couple, two or three weeks, just to, you know, I don't care if it's a half. It's preseason again. It really doesn't matter at this point in time. Take a look at your guys. See what we got on the roster. I don't want to. I don't want smoke and mirrors next year in preseason. I'd like to see these guys in some action. So that's number one. And then number two, I'm not being facetious about this, so don't totally laugh, but I know it's coming in the future sooner or later. When, if and when do you think, Pete, that Peyton Manning ever puts on the headset on the sideline? I'd love to hear that because I think he'd be a wonderful head coach one day.
All right, A, I don't think Peyton's going to ever be a head coach. I think if he goes on to
he'll be like
John Elway, or he's going to go into the booth and do TV. I don't think Peyton's. I mean, you can't just become a head coach. It's not. You got to go through the rigors. You got to go become a position coach and a quarterback's coach and a line coach. I mean, and a coordinator, and then on up. So no, I think Peyton's path will be more in the front office, and I think he'd be damn good at it. By the way,
I do too.
Nobody I've ever come across in my years covering this league knew the details of players on other teams better than Peyton Manning.
What about me, Pete? I knew everything.
You were fantastic at it.
I'm joking.
No, I'm serious.
No, Peyton was great. Peyton's good.
You always knew the guys on the other team. The guys like you and Peyton are few and far between.
No, but Peyton is he'd be great. He's a smart football guy. Just watch him play. I've said he's the smartest football. I think Tom Brady is. I would choose Tom Brady first. It'd be, you know, splitting hairs between the two of them. They're both great, but I think Peyton Manning is the smartest quarterback to ever play. I mean, he's top five, whatever, however you want to do it. I mean, you start getting the top five or ten of quarterbacks in the history of this game, they're all so close. I mean, my favorite's John Elway. I can't tell you why, but but the one thing I'll stand by is the smartest of them all is Peyton Manning.
Yes.
Hands down.
Yes.
I'm not going to argue he's the best, but he's the smartest.
No. He's the smartest. And my favorite of all time is Dan Marino. Watching him play was the best. To me, it's the best passer I've ever seen with my own eyes. But Peyton's the smartest. I would agree with you 100%, Tony.
So, and then the whole thing, you know, and I think it's a fair question about Brandon Albert, and people are frustrated.
Allen.
I was thinking Brandon Albert's the Miami Dolphin left.
They would love to have Brandon Albert, but they take Brandon Albert too.
He's a good player. Brandon Allen. I understand because, you know, Blake's not playing well and people want something different. When you're losing, the first place you start at two places when you're losing. You go after the head coach and you go after the quarterback. Just how it is. But I guess my question to you, Pete, because I don't think the caller's still there. What would Brandon Allen have to do that would make you not bring in a veteran or go draft a quarterback to compete with Blake Bortles?
Oh, if you put him in there and he threw for 330 and two touchdowns and a pick and then went in and did it again, then you might sit there and say, yeah, okay, fine. I don't think there's anything that's going to preclude you. Remember, this is going to be a new staff.
That's my point. So why I don't see the value of doing it. Well, I guess I see. I think it's more harm than good is my point.
How's it going to harm?
Well, I mean, I think it would affect Blake if you did that. I think the message. I think you go into the off season of. I just don't think he's
affected enough by the season he's had already.
I think it affects him more.
And then you have another quarterback with some game experience.
But to Pete's point, and I'll just say it for Pete, but Pete will tell you, and I tend to agree with him. So I'm really contradicting everything I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Is if that affects you, then mm-hmm. you're not the guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Pete will tell you. Am I not correct? Am I correct, Pete?
If you let him play and he stinks and
no, I'm saying if benching Blake affects him that bad negatively or mentally, then he's not the guy.
Right. Correct.
That's what you would say. I can't say I disagree. For whatever reason, and I've always fought against it, but maybe it's because, you know, I'm so. Such good friends, and my man Mark Brunell is wore off on me. I've always bothered me that quarterbacks get treated differently, but you know he's a quarterback, and Love him to death, best friend, and prima donna, though. And he would, you know, so it's worn off on me that I've allowed him in his thinking that now I'm treating the quarterbacks different, because I've always said, you know, listen, it's quarterback, but, you know, let him compete for the job. If he ain't good enough, go find someone else. So I have gotten soft. I go back and forth. Yeah. I just don't know what you get out of playing Brandon Allen.
We find out what he's about.
Yeah, you get four games with that Brandon Allen as the –
Well, it's not going to be four
or
games.
Whatever it is.
First of all, I wouldn't put Brandon Allen against the Minnesota Vikings defense. That's,
no.
Don't do that to the kid.
But, Tony, what if Blake has another game like he had against the Denver defense this week? Then do you consider it?
I wouldn't, Pete. I just don't – I don't see the upside. Yeah.
Well, there's no upside for this staff at all. At least in there might be upside for the evaluators moving forward, but for this staff, they're probably sitting there saying, if we really thought he could win, we'd put him in.
Yeah, so, I'll go back to that. If you didn't think Blake was the guy, the time to make the move was 7 weeks ago.
But 7 weeks ago, you would have made the move to go to Henny.
Well, okay, fine.
And that move does nothing now. That's an irrelevant move.
No,
to
not
make
now. I agree. I just think if you're going to make a change at the quarterback, you do it 5 to 7 weeks ago. You're 2-3 7 weeks ago. You have a bad game against Oakland. You have a bad game against Tennessee. That's the time I would have done it if you're going to do it.
We said 3 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks ago, that if Blake continued to play like that, that he should maybe go to the change, and you agreed with me.
I said, no, I could see it then.
Right. Well, he's played that way.
Yeah, but I can understand it, Pete. I'm just saying I don't – there has to be a reason I'm going to make that move.
To get an evaluation of Brandon Allen.
So then if that's the case, then the person who needs to make that – I mean, that's a conversation for Dave and Gus to have. I mean, I think it has to come
– Or maybe Tom, the overseer, can get an early start and make the call.
Let's on that note – we'll come back.
I quit.
More calls. Terrence, Leo, John, you're on the line. Stick with us. Check out Jack Hanania's Audi Jacksonville on Blanding. You can lease a beautiful new A3 from just $229 a month. Head over today for details. Baselli might tap out. We'll find out.
I'm hanging in there, JP.
This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars Radio.
I think Roby made a good play. It wasn't a great throw. You know, I have to look at it again. It's probably behind him. But, you know, it's kind of what we want. I got man coverage and A-Rob running across the field, you know, with a guy behind him. So he's got to put it in front of him and let him run.
Welcome back to Jaguars Monday, J.P. Shadrick. Pete Prisco. What?
No, you're not J.P. Shadrick. No. Do your name first.
No, I like doing my name first. I'm the headliner. Headliner goes
last.
Okay, I'm Tony Baselli with JC.
You got to identify yourself.
Oh, I go first. Dang it.
Confuses the listener.
I guess I'll have to do it again next time.
Hey,
sorry.
JP, the truth is out. He wants to be you.
No, I'm taking the job, Pete. Taking the job.
No, you want to be him.
No, I'm not. Don't want to be him. I'm going to take
Why
his
not?
Job.
Why don't you want to be
That's
him?
That's what I do.
Tony? What's wrong with me?
Have you looked in the mirror?
I have every single day.
Then the answer to my question.
I know. I don't want to be you either. How about that?
I don't blame you.
Oaf.
There's a lot of days. Listen, there's a lot of days I don't want to be me. My favorite tweet.
See, I love being me.
Of course
we
do.
Know,
yeah,
Pete.
Yeah,
we know.
Yeah.
I got my favorite tweet of the night.
What is that?
Let me find it. Sorry. Oh, this is bad radio. I like you guys individually, but Tony ain't cut out for this.
Wow.
And so my response was, I said, okay, then change the station.
That's real nice, Tony. Great answer. That's real nice. Hey, let's go back to the phone lines.
It's a free country. You don't have to listen.
It is. That's right. 355-NFL-1. Terrence is gone.
Oh,
let's go to Leo.
Come on, Terrence.
Leo in Fruit Cove will get us going. Leo, what's up?
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Man, what's really going on with this football team, man? I mean, and I'm going to say this. I'm probably going to be in the minority report with this one, because I keep hearing everybody want to bench Blake and bring in a new quarterback, and he's a bust and all this. I'm ready to give up on A-Rob 15, because if I see him juggle a ball and give it to the other team one more time, I guarantee you Blake Bortles has at least 4 interceptions from that guy alone. Okay, dipping it up. Because I thought the general rule was, if you get your hands on it, you need to bring it in, dude, or slap it to the ground. What you don't do is tip it up to the other team. I'm getting just about sick of his garbage, okay? And then barking at the officials, getting that 15-yard penalty, it's just absolutely disgusting. I don't know.
I will say this, though. A-Rob saved Bortles' bacon a few times, too, on diving catches and jump balls.
It goes both ways.
Yeah, come on now.
Okay,
JP. That was the best. That was your best take of the year.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Huh?
Go ahead, Leo.
No, I just, and one more thing. I just had another point. I'm not going to talk about new coaches or new GMs, but when I start looking at some of these guys, I'm starting to see busts in some of these people. Like, definitely Thomas Yeldon. I'm not really sold on TJ Yeldon. I'm not going to talk about Luke Joka, but that is what it is. And I know he's got some good players out here. I like Ramsey. I like Telvin Smith. I like some of the defensive players. But while we can't get, you know, the turnovers, you know, it's just, I can't put my finger on it. And I'm not giving up on this team. I'm a big supporter of this football team. But that play yesterday, this is what I really want to call to ask you about.
Okay, yeah, let's get to a question. That'd be good. Let's get to a question, Leo.
Go ahead.
No, ask a question because I've heard a lot of I'm having a hard time following you right now. I need a question.
Okay. Why didn't Blake run on that last play? He'd been doing good. Look, why don't we do more of the things that make us successful?
Pete, go ahead.
That play where he fumbled the ball or just threw it to the ground, how come we just don't run there?
Run where? He was getting engulfed. Where's he running to?
He was not getting engulfed. There was phantom pressure there. He hit his
phantom
own
pressure?
The offensive lineman fumbled, like, knocked the ball out of his hand.
What are you talking about, Leo?
His own guy bumped the ball out of his hand.
The pocket's collapsing. What do you want?
But he's got to get out of there.
There's nowhere to go forward.
No.
Whatever. Hollywood chose
the play. He'd been running. He ran for the first down on fourth before, ran the touchdown. It's just like, it seemed like he's being held back to do what he needs to do.
They need to let him
held
be
back.
Him.
Oh, man, I don't know, man. It's pressure. I'm not ready to give up on Blake, though. I'm still not ready to give up on Blake. Bring all who you want to bring in. Bring in competition for him. Here. Bring in another quarterback. Draft one. I still think that guy's got some juice left, man. Y'all have a good one.
Thank you, Leo.
Thanks for the call.
Let Blake be Blake. Let's go.
He just wants to show his personality.
Let him out of the cage.
That's it. How about John on the south side? Keep us going, John. What's up?
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
So I want to talk about the quarterback a little bit.
Of course.
Why we wouldn't put it out. I mean, Tony, we've seen Blake for 42 games. I mean, he is what he is now. I don't see any reason why anyone – would.
Okay, stop there. Hold on, stop there for a second. He is what he is. So what is he? Because last year, hold on, let me finish. Yeah. Last year, you were probably one of the people who says he had a great year. 35 touchdowns, 4,200 yards. You know, he's the guy. So is he that, or is he this year's guy? I'm just trying to figure out.
I thought he's been inconsistent his first 3 years. He's had 11 touchdowns.
Well, he's only been in the league 3 years, so that's his only 3 years.
Yeah, it's 3 years. He's been inconsistent.
So last year, if I'd asked you this question after last year, you'd have made the same comment. We know what he is.
Absolutely.
Brandon Allen. We should have started Brandon Allen this year because we already knew what Blake was.
Yes, we should start Brandon Allen.
Okay, thanks. That's a great call. Thanks. Let's
move on. From game one, you got to find out.
Okay, let's move on. This is nonsensical. You're making no sense. That
we need a quarterback.
No, let's make sure we understand your point. You think this team should have gone into the season with Brandon Allen as the quarterback?
Yes.
This is the worst call in the history of call talk show radio. That's dumb.
Then why draft?
Oh, stop it. Just hang up on this guy. It's awful.
Just give him a chance.
No, Joe, hang up on him now.
That's a bad call.
Wow. Pete, what is going on with this, Pete?
Well, anybody going into the season who thought that Brandon Allen should start over Blake Bortles is absurd.
It's dumb.
I mean, you could say you want him to start now. You could say
fine.
He should start now.
That's fine.
But to say he should start over him before the season, please.
That's revisionist history. That's someone saying, you know, I knew more than everybody else. And come on, that's dumb.
It's kind of Pete. That's Pete's MO.
Pete will be honest. I mean, Pete thought going into this year that Blake Bortles was better than Derek Carr. And so did I. And right now, you can't say that.
Nope.
Derek Carr's an MVP candidate. Mm-hmm. And so, admit, you know, this is my other favorite one. Everyone now will tell you, I knew it. We should have picked Derek Carr 2 years ago instead of Blake Bortles. I like Derek Carr. Right? I didn't want Blake Bortles. I wanted Derek Carr. That's all you hear. I hear it all the time, and I'm like, well, I didn't want Derek Carr. I wouldn't have drafted him number three. I was not. I mean, I wouldn't have. So 30, I'm not gonna,
31 other teams didn't either.
I'm not going to sit here and
in the first
now round. Because Derek Carr is having a better year this year and is an MVP candidate that all of a sudden I'm going to go back and change history. But that's what people do.
No, but you got to admit, though, it's probably a little irritating to Jaguar fans to see Derek Carr having a great year coached up by Bill Musgrave and Jack Del Rio. And
who Jack fired here in Jacksonville.
Right, and then you look down and down the Tampa Bay and see Dirk Cutter and Mark Duffner and Todd Monken and gang on the offensive side of the or two of them on the opposite side of the ball, and then you got Duffner and Smitty on the
Jameis
defensive
Winston.
Side of the ball. Yeah,
and I did say I thought Jameis. I would have taken Jameis last year over Mariota. Now both are going to end up being good players. I thought
you take them both over Blake right now.
I thought Jameis was going to be a good pro. Right now, you can't argue that. I mean, I don't want to say that, but I'd be lying if I didn't. I mean, I like Blake and I want Blake to be successful, but you can't argue the fact that those guys are having better years and are further along right now than Blake. You can't argue it. There's nothing to
Dak
argue.
Dak Prescott's further along, and he's only halfway through his rookie season.
Yeah, Listen, I like Dak, and he's playing great football. You can't deny
I'm
it.
I'm with you, though.
But
Tony.
Let's just pump our brakes a little bit.
Remember early in the season when it was Carson Wentz was the next coming of Ben Roethlisberger and Peyton Manning combined?
And now they're talking about he has mechanical issues.
They call him – in fact, his mechanical issues are so bad that I saw one tweet today. They called him Blake Wentz.
So, I mean, it's
– wow.
Things change, but Dak Prescott has a great offensive line, and I did the game last week in Minnesota, so I watched a lot of Cowboys tape. What really makes that team go right now on offense is Ezekiel Elliott. He makes that line; it's a good, very, very good line. He makes them better because he makes people miss in the hole. I mean, unblocked defenders sitting there that should be blocked that he makes miss and turns into big runs.
You watch the film of the Cowboys. Who's the best offensive lineman on that team?
Zach Martin.
Yes.
Without a doubt. Okay. It's easy.
If you were a GM, would you sign Ron Leary as a free agent?
He's solid. Yeah, good player. Not great. Yeah. Good. You know who I was not overly impressed with?
Frederick.
Yep.
He's good. He's probably not. He's probably.
I would take Linder over him.
Yeah. The right tackle.
The right tackle struggles.
He's solid, though.
He got killed. He got killed in Minnesota.
Well, yeah, but that was a bad game for him. Tyron Smith is the beast.
Tyron Smith is very good.
Tyron?
No, it's Tyron. If you look at the pronunciation guide, according to the NFL, is Tyrin.
Pronunciation guru Tony Baselli.
-RIN. I'm just telling you what it says. Tyrin. Go look it up. I state the facts.
But if you picked any tackle in the league right now, left tackle, you'd probably take him.
I would take Donald Penn over him.
Hey, let's take a timeout,
Okay. Tyrin Smith's a better run blocker. Donald Penn a better pass blocker.
This will give us a little way to get into around the NFL when we come back.
Okay, let's do that.
We'll come back. Final segment with Pete Prisco when we return. Thanks for the calls tonight on the Irritate Baselli Half Hour. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
Well, you heard it there. It's Jaguars Monday. I'm Tony Baselli. To my right is J.P. Shadrick. And somewhere down in Miami doing who knows what of CBSSports.com, Pete Prisco. Third time's the charm. Nailed it, boys!
He's not in Miami. He's in Fort Lauderdale.
Same place.
Fort Lauderdale. It's south, though. JP, so
I was in the right direction, right? Hey, I just got a tweet, Pete. People didn't like me saying that Penn is better than Tyron Smith right now. And the tweet said, I'm crazy that I'd take Penn over Smith. I didn't say that. I would take Smith long-term because of his age, and he's a very good player. But as far as a pass blocker, and this league is about pass blocking more than run blocking right now, the way it's set up, especially the left tackle. Donald Penn is a better pass blocker. And I probably even would take Jason Peters right now because of his pass blocking ability.
I wouldn't.
Okay. Now,
would just you take Joe Thomas?
Just for this, no. I would take Tyron Smith before Joe Thomas. Just for this, I'm talking about one season. Now, if you have to ask me to make a decision for the next 3 to 5 years, I'm taking Tyron Smith all day long. Tyron Smith gets a little bit in trouble sometimes. He reaches with his outside, and he's susceptible to getting his outside arm chopped. But very good player. Very good player.
Is Zach Martin the best offensive lineman in the league?
That's not fair for me to say. I haven't watched every team on tape, Pete. I mean, to make that, I'd want to watch the tape. And, like, in fairness to my comment, and I said this on Twitter, I've only watched a couple games of Donald Penn and Tyron Smith on all 22. So maybe Tyron Smith is playing better overall than Donald Penn. I'm just saying the couple games I've seen. And I haven't even seen Philly on all 22. I've just seen him on TV copy. So it's very high level. I mean, they're all good players. I bring up Donald Penn, Pete, because he gets no credit for being a good player.
No, he's a good player.
He gets no credit for the left tackle he plays.
He was available for teams to go sign him, too, by the way.
I know, but he has a bad body and just doesn't look the part. But he's good.
It's easier to be – it's almost – in that division, it's almost easier to be a left tackle than it is a right tackle.
In the West? Yeah, because you
– think about it.
Well, Von Miller.
Right.
Now, he played both sides against us because part of the reason
was –
he changed quite a bit this game, and the reason was is Nathaniel Hackett had a great game plan, and they went right formation and made it very difficult for him to get to the quarterback from the right side.
Like Khalil Mack.
Right, but
– Khalil Mack, though, is a left end.
Right, and Justin Houston.
And Justin Houston is a left end.
Right.
Is Dee Ford hurt right now, Pete? Is that why he didn't play?
Yeah, he got hurt. He's hurt. But he's back, but he wasn't the same.
That's
but
a great point, Pete. I didn't even think about that. The right tackle is a tough job to fill in the AFC West.
Yeah.
I wonder why that is.
It's even worse because if you're Joseph Barksdale because you got all three of them.
That's what I'm saying. I wonder why that is. I wonder if teams just by happen chance those – because, I mean, if you watch Von Miller rush, he is way more comfortable on the left side than the right side. He's just more comfortable. His moves are better. His spin's better. He's just more effective. And some guys will tell you they're more comfortable on one side or the other for whatever reason it is. But historically, the best pass rushers have been those right defensive ends. But every once in a while – you know, another great pass rusher at the left end was Michael Strahan.
Well, it's kind of changed now a little bit since, like, even back from when you played.
Well, and I wonder if it's because forever they put the better pass-blocking tackle at the left tackle, and maybe teams are like, listen, we're going to put our best – let's match our best end up against the less athletic right tackle. I don't know.
The right tackles aren't great in the league, so that might have something to do with it too.
I'll tell you one thing. If I was building a team, I think both your tackles have to be good. I think both your centers need to be – I mean, guards need to be good, and I think your center needs to be good.
You know, Tony, it's interesting you bring up the guards because – and I'm actually going to do something – a series on guards later in the draft because let's be honest about it. Back when you played
– it was 7-step drop. It was easier to play guard. You had more room.
Right.
It was harder to play tackle.
And not only that, it's almost like now the value of the guard – remember it used to be, okay, if you get a good center and – two really good tackles, then you can just fill in the guards. That's not the case anymore.
Well, it was such a different game, Pete. And I watch teams today and where the quarterback's drops are and how everyone climbs the pocket and they're playing the launch points at, you know, 6 yards or so, 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage at the deepest a lot of times. And back when we were playing, you know, shotgun plus 5 steps, or if you're under center, 7 steps. I mean, the launch point's back at 10. I mean, I mean, if we got 5-step drops where he was going to be, you know, at 7 or 8 yards, I was happy. If it was a 3-step drop where he's at 5, I was like, it's a playoff. I mean, you watch, and I use
so it, from it, so I set, used to, so I, set.
Oh, it changes how you set.
But it's a better, it's easier for a guard in the day when it was a 7-step drop.
Yeah, you have more
to protect,
room.
Right, he had a lot of room. So now they got to be stouter, they got to be better.
That's right, it's different.
They almost have to be. And they have to be more athletic now with all – you teams didn't move as much back then, it didn't seem like.
Yeah, I don't know. I just know when I used to hear a three-step drop or even a five-step drop, I was like, easy. Now, a lot of our stuff was seven-step. So I was like, got to go to work. Time to go to work, boys. Five-step. This three-step was like, it's a playoff. No problem. I mean, you can't get beat. It's impossible. I felt like that.
Physics.
It's like, there's no way. Just take a good set, and it's impossible to get beat.
And here's another thing, too, Tony. Remember, a bad tackle was like a badge of dishonor. Well, he can't play tackle. We're going to move him inside the guard.
Yeah, not anymore.
Now, no, look at even the best guards were all tackles. You look at it. Marshall Yanda was a tackle in college. Zach Martin was a tackle in college. It's not a badge of dishonor anymore.
No, it's a great point. The game's changed, though, Pete. I mean, it's just so different.
Let's continue our look around the National Football League, and we start off in the AFC South, as we do each and every week. We start off.
I think we agree who the bottom
Packers
power ranking is.
Over the Texans, 21-13, the snow game. The Texans are now 6-6. The Titans had a bye week. The Jaguars are eliminated with a loss to the Broncos. But tonight, Monday Night Football, the 5-6 Indianapolis Colts. And the 3-8 New York Jets. Can the Colts get it done?
What's the Colts' record now? Going into
5-6.
5-6.
Like I said,
I wasn't paying attention. Obviously. If they get to, they win tonight. Obviously, there it's right there. They're 6-6, tied for the division lead, three-way tie, which I think they will win tonight. And it's going to be a race to the finish. And I think it's going to be between the Titans and the Colts. I think the Texans are done.
Done, like as in forget about it, done? Yeah, I think the Colts are going to end up winning the division. They got the best quarterback. I think they'll find a way to win a division. The Titans play the Broncos this week in Nashville. That I think that game will go a long way in deciding if they can win a division.
And I think the Titans will beat the brakes off them.
Really?
We rushed for 153 yards. The Titans are one of the best rush teams in the NFL.
Exotic smash mouth.
The
we
Broncos
know this,
give
yes.
up 120-plus yards per game. They're not a great run defense.
I like the Titans this week, too. So are the Titans going to be a playoff team then?
I think the Titans – Pete, it's a coin flip for me. The Colts beat the Titans the first time meeting.
Twice.
Oh, I thought they beat them twice?
No, they beat them twice.
So they got the tiebreaker there. No, I think it's probably going to be the Colts. But the Titans are going to be right there. It's going to go down to the – you know what it might
Titans
come down
have-
to?
Jaguars.
It might come down to – that Colt-Jaguar game for the Colts to go to the playoffs.
Well, here's Titans' schedule. You ready?
We're going to end
this. Home against Denver. Tony, home against Denver.
Yeah.
At Kansas City.
Yeah.
At Jacksonville.
They don't want any of that right there.
Home against Houston.
So that's a tough schedule.
You think?
The Titans? KC in December, Pete?
Yeah, that's a tough game, but the rest of it isn't so tough.
They'll go 3-1. They're going to end up 9-7.
Okay, here's the Colts schedule. Jets tonight. They got to win tonight. Okay,
because they're going to beat the Broncos. They're going to beat the Chiefs. They're going to lose to the Jaguars and beat
the Texans. All right. So let's go to the Colts schedule.
Okay.
Jets tonight. You think they'll win?
They'll win. 6-6.
Home against the Texans.
Now they're going to beat the Texans at home.
7-6. At the Vikings.
They're going to lose that game.
7-7 at the Raiders.
They'll win that game because the Raiders are terrible on defense.
And then home against the Jaguars.
They'll lose that
win
one.
That game too.
They'll lose that
so
game.
So they're going to.
They'll be 8-8.
The Colts. So you think 8-8 will win the division then?
I think 9-7 Titans are going to win the division.
Wow.
How about that?
If the Colts get to 9-7, if they can somehow sneak by and beat us, then they'll win the tiebreaker.
If the Colts lose tonight, they're in deep trouble.
Oh, they're done. Because I don't see
they're
them.
They're not done because yeah, if they
a lot of football
lose tonight, and they beat the Texans next week, and the Titans lose, then they'll all be tied again. Come on, they're not done.
Yeah, it's tough. How about tough sledding?
How about a crappy division, and Jacksonville can't make any hay in it?
Enough.
Embarrassing.
What's another bad division?
Like right now,
AFC North isn't great, Pete.
Well, the Steelers and Ravens are better than anybody in
the
league.
No, they're seven and five, though. I'm not saying it's better than.
We're just not comparing. You know, we're not going head to head.
Take Seattle out of the equation in the West, NFC West, and it's bad.
Terrible.
Yeah, they're 8-3-1. Everybody else is under 500 in that division.
I don't think the NFC South.
NFC South, Atlanta, Tampa Bay are 7-5 to lead the way.
Yeah, it's not a great division either. So, all right, do the power rankings, Pete. Let's power rank the AFC South.
If the Colts win tonight, they're number one.
No, not if. Tonight. I want to know right now power rankings.
Right before
Colts
the game.
Colts 1, Titans 2, Texans 3, Jaguars 4.
I'll go Titans, Colts, Texans, Jags.
There you have it, the AFC South power rankings. And, yes, the Colts play tonight on Monday Night Football.
The good news for the Jaguars, though, Tony, is the Titans are playing well. That means they're going to keep Mike Mularkey.
Why are you so against Mularkey? He's done a good job.
He has done a good job.
Well, then why are you against him, Pete?
I just don't think he's a good coach. That's me.
Okay, he's done a good job, but he's not a good coach. I'd like to know the world.
He's got his team in the hunt with Exotic Smash Mouth. What else do you want, Pete?
He wants to throw it every down. Have you even figured that out yet?
Now you're talking.
A couple other league notes. Jeff Fisher got a 2-year extension, and he promptly goes out and gets blown up by the Patriots.
So it was not a good week for Jeff Fisher outside of him getting that 2-year extension, which I think was already done before it just got announced.
Yeah. And it's only really a 1-year extension.
And so, but here's the – he didn't know Danny Woodhead didn't play for the for the Patriots.
That's embarrassing.
And then didn't know the other running backs had the wrong running backs. So he had really screwed that up.
He was talking about Brandon Bolden, and he didn't know what he was talking about. He didn't know what he's talking about.
He had no clue. Then he gets in a fight with the greatest L.A. Ram ever, publicly.
Second greatest L.A. Ram. You forgot about Deacon Jones.
Okay, second greatest. Fair enough. I would agree with that. Second greatest L.A. Ram ever, and does not look good for him. And then third, can't find the challenge flag on the sideline in his coat.
You know, he used to be Captain 500. Now he's Colonel 500. I mean, come on. This guy's the champ. You know how many – it's amazing. He's been coaching for 23 seasons. You know how many double-digit seasons?
He has six winning seasons.
That's incredible.
Not double-digit. That's just six winning seasons.
That's incredible.
Nine or more.
Wow. Awful.
Wow.
Did he have – and I like Jeff. He's an SC guy. Is he
– I like Jeff a lot.
Yeah,
but
I do too.
Come on.
Is he – did he break the record for most losses ever in the history of the NFL? I know he was on the verge of doing
I know
it.
He passed Landry for second. I don't know how many the first place one was. Well, it wasn't that far off, I don't think.
Gus is the second worst winning percentage of all time.
Thanks, Pete.
Behind Burt Bell.
Great,
he's
Pete.
Only ahead of Burt Bell.
Who owned the team?
You want to chime in there?
Well, he did. He owned the team.
Yeah, he was a commissioner, too. He did great things. Why are you talking about Burt Bell poorly?
Because somebody said maybe Gus could be the commissioner next his next job.
You're terrible.
Gosh,
Pete.
That's enough of you tonight, Pete. Go enjoy your program tonight, Pete.
I think Gus is going to be a great defensive coordinator at his next job. I really do. And I'm not saying that sarcastic. Like I told you before, I think that sometimes you find out what you are in your first go around, you become another defensive coordinator, maybe you get another shot. But I think he's going to be a great defensive coordinator again.
We'll see.
Pete Prisco, CBS Sports. com. Talk to you next week,
Pete.
See
you guys.
Yep.
You got it.
There he is. We'll come back. Just the Tony and JP show.
It's the best 8 minutes of radio.
PRI Productions is the Southeast premier full-service event company with everything you need to bring your next event to life. Visit PRIProductions.com to learn more. This is Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HennanyAutos.com studio. Jaguars Monday continues right now.
All right, getting ready for the last segment of the night in Jaguars Monday. I'm Tony Baselli. That's J.P. Shadrick. And thank goodness we are done with Pete Prisco down in Fort Lauderdale. Been a great show, J.P.
You just called me Pete.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't
come
get
on,
it.
Man.
It was pretty good, though.
Sitting here looking at me.
It was pretty good to that point, wasn't it?
It was okay.
I thought it was outstanding.
It was okay.
I thought it was probably
it was the best drop-in
this show has ever had.
That's overselling it. I think it was
Joe,
the best
you
one you did tonight.
I think you're awful.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Joe.
He was talking to you. I apologize.
No, no, no. You asked him a question. Either way, this is the final few moments of Jaguars Monday. JP Shadrick, Tony Buscelli, Pete Prisco is out of here. So the Jaguars get the Minnesota Vikings this week. They were 5-0, and they're not 5-0 anymore.
Yeah, they've lost 6-7.
And their defense is fantastic. The offense leaves a lot to be desired.
32nd in the NFL.
Yeah, that's not good.
No.
They lost the running back early. They lost the quarterback before the season, so they've had some changes there to begin the thing, and they haven't really been able to get anything going.
They're a very good defense. They're not as good as the Denver defense. They're better against the run, but they're not as good in the pass. They don't have the pass rush in the corners that Denver has. Now, they have some really good players. Xavier Rhodes, Florida State kid.
4 picks.
Outstanding corner. Harrison Smith, their safety, outstanding player. Their linebackers are much better than Denver's linebackers. Anthony Barr, Chad Greenway, outstanding players. Up front, they're good. They have some good pass rushers. Daniil Hunter is their pass rush specialist. He leads them in sacks. Robison. It's not Robinson, it's Robison, R-O-B-I-S-O-N.
No N.
And then Everson Griffin, good defensive end. So they're good, really good as a unit. They blitz, they're aggressive, they're going to get after you. It's going to be tough sledding. It's going to be a game. I think the mindset defensively, you have to go in and say, we're going to have to get some takeaways, and we can't give up more than 10. I mean, they held the Cowboys to 10 points, basically. The Cowboys scored 17, but one of it was because Thielen, the punt returner, fumbled on the 9-yard line, mm-hmm. a punt, and the Cowboys stuck it in. Until that point, they couldn't move the ball, and this is one of the best offenses in football.
Yeah,
and so it's going to be, you know, you need to find a way to score some points and not turn it over and defensively help them out.
Also, Sunday at Everbank Field, Pride of the Jaguars induction for Jimmy Smith.
Yeah, it'd be great. Looking forward to alumni weekend. We always get together. We'll have a big thing Saturday night, just a bunch of the players. I think 60 guys are scheduled to come
in.
That's
a lot, right? How many were last year, like 40?
I don't remember.
You didn't count? I mean, come on.
I didn't count. I enjoy seeing all the old faces. Really excited for Jimmy. One of the greatest Jaguars ever to play. One of the greatest receivers to ever play in the NFL. And glad that he's doing good. And he's getting his name up on the stadium like he deserves. I mean, he deserves to be recognized as one of the great Jaguars.
Should be fun.
It's going to be a good time. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody.
60 guys back in town. That's a lot.
That'd be fun.
That's cool. A lot of guys live in town, though, which is good.
Yeah, lock the doors, hide the women and children.
Saturday night. Right?
Brunel will be out there. Be careful. No.
You never know.
Never know.
With Lefty.
Crazy. He's crazy now.
Yeah. I heard about that.
Yeah, I'll be in bed by 8:30.
That unsweetened iced tea.
Yeah, get that unsweet tea and go to bed.
It'll do you.
A lot of caffeine. Yeah, be careful.
It'll keep you up all night. The Jags and the Vikings tickets available 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. Also, the Legends of Wrestling will be here for a pregame event, including Ric Flair. Jim Duggan.
I want to meet Ric Flair.
Well, I think
were you a big WWE?
When I was a little kid,
it was WWF when I was
younger. Yeah.
One of the great. I remember as a kid going to watch Hulk Hogan and Junkyard Dog.
Okay.
Wrestle at the old McNichols Arena in Denver, and it was awesome. It was so cool.
How old were you? Like 23?
Like 11.
Oh.
Thought it was real. Thought it was the greatest sporting event ever. Hulk Hogan was my hero.
He probably still is.
Yeah.
The real American.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Tony, you'll have a chance to meet Ric Flair soon.
I'll be ready. I'm looking forward to it.
Well done, man. We'll see you Thursday.
Yeah, I'm here Thursday. Next two Thursdays I'll be in town. No Thursday Night Football.
Pete Prisco, Max Hockman, Joe Fortunato, Tony Buscelli, JP Shadrick. Jaguars Monday on Jaguars.com and Jaguars Radio.